Welcome to the program for Tuesday, September 18th, 2012, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And today, continuing our special presentation of Agency of the Month with the focus on the Department of Homeland Security. And happy to welcome in the studio today Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer to the Department of Homeland Security. Peggy, it's great to see you in the studio. Thank you for coming in today. Happy to do it. And Ed Johnson is the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA. Thank you very much for coming in as well.
Thank you.
And my colleague Jason Miller joins us in the questioning today. I want to thank you for being here, as always, on Agency of the Month.
I never miss one.
And that's true, you don't. As I mentioned, we're focusing on the Department of Homeland Security today on Agency of the Month. And Peggy, I'm going to start with you. Talk about your job, the role that you play there, and what being CFO at that agency means.
It means it's a great job. It's certainly something that always provides lots of opportunities. DHS, as you know, is a very complex entity, very diverse missions. So it really is an opportunity to really use many of the disciplines that a CFO has to have, things such as performance management, the ability to be able to do strong resource allocations, the ability to be able to emphasize internal controls and strong accountability. So it really does really give us an opportunity to really use those disciplines.
Ed, tell me about the role that you play as CFO at FEMA and how it relates to going up the chain to Peggy.
Sure. There's a lot of collaboration between the components at FEMA with the department working on those same areas of budget, financial management, audit, internal controls. The FEMA CFO has a distinct responsibility, and in addition to working with the department, supporting the administrator and deputy administrator in carrying out the mission of FEMA to make sure that we're prepared to meet the needs of the citizens and first responders in preparing for disasters, responding to disasters, as well as the other programs we're responsible for, including the National Flood Insurance Program.
Peggy, you mentioned performance management is one of the first things you hit on. Tell me how that is changing and evolving at DHS, how it relates to the CFO's office.
Sure. Well, it's really one of the it's the fabric of the foundation of what it is that we do. In order to be able to ensure that you are being good stewards of the taxpayer dollars, it's really important for you to be able to demonstrate strong accountability, strong performance. When a strategic plan is developed, in order to be able to accomplish the mission, and I had indicated there's at least DHS is very complex, five complex missions, it's important to be able to articulate clearly what is it that you're actually trying to achieve. And the way that you, and performance comes into play is really to be able to see whether or not you're actually achieving what you've set out to do. So at DHS, we've spent a lot of time really being able to map the various missions to various performance outcomes. And what we also then do is that from a CFO standpoint is really to ensure that that is then integrated into the budget. So we really do strong performance management integrated with the budget.
When you talk about performance management, the first thing that comes to mind is obviously the chief performance officer. I know that's not your role, but talk about how you work closely with the PIO for DHS. And then I also want to hear from Ed in terms of how FEMA's, I'm sure you guys have someone who's in charge of performance management. Right. How do you work well, then how does it all kind of come together?
The CFO's office, we directly support the PIO at DHS. And what we've done is we've taken, four or five years, we've really developed a performance fabric, a performance community. And so what we've done is we've really worked with them on a very regular basis. We work with the components as well as work with the PIO to be able to articulate and review what our performance measures are and to make sure not only are we achieving what we set out to, the actuals are actually achieving what we had hoped to be able to do, but we're also making sure that they're actually still responsive to the changing needs in the mission.
And before you jump in, I just wanted to do a quick follow-up around a lot of times you see a CFO is the PIO, the Performance Improvement Officer. Obviously, at DHS, you guys also heard the call from Congress around a Chief Management Officer, something we see at DHS. You do have an Undersecretary for Management. Do you think that the PIO not being a CFO is a good move? Obviously, it works that way for DHS, but from your experience, because I know you also were the Deputy CFO at DHS at one point, so you have obviously a fair amount of experience, not just at the agency, but in government.
I think it's not so much who actually has that lead role. I do think that there is a strong need to be able to have performance management in the CFO's in their overall portfolio. One of the things, in fact, that we're doing is working with the OMB CFO Council is really taking a look at what are those disciplines. You know, what should that CFO in the 21st century look like? What should those financial managers look like? And no matter what disciplines that are in there, you know, clearly going from more of that transaction-based type of a back office discipline to really being a strategic partner sitting at the table. Performance underlies all of that there. So it's not so much who's actually in a lead in it, but the CFOs absolutely will always be a strong part of it.
Now, just Ed, on your side, from the FEMA standpoint, how does performance play a role into what you do?
It's very integral in a couple of ways. First of all, we have the formal responses that we do through the department, through OMB, to the Hill to demonstrate the value for the money that we're spending. But from the leadership down, from the administrator, deputy administrator, they've integrated performance in every aspect of our organization. All the budget reviews that we do throughout FEMA, throughout the programs, have to introduce the performance metrics of what we are getting. They call it, what are we getting value for our money? We also have targeted reviews. We've introduced something that was similar to the New York Police Department through FEMA-STAT of looking at key programs that have come under review and asking the question, how can we do them better? What are the performance results? How do we enhance them? And, of course, we're all, as Peggy knows and she speaks well of, we're all dealing with constrained resources, so we have to demonstrate every day what we're getting for the value of the money. So we've integrated those through a leadership conversation and the expectation from the leadership down.
Peggy Sherry of Homeland Security and Ed Johnson of FEMA are guests on Agency of the Month today. And I want to ask each of you, how has your job changed given the budget pressures that we're under and the increasing emphasis on return on investment, as you're talking about, Ed? Your profile, I guess, in the C-suite is increasing at each of your agencies. Peggy, what's different now than maybe it was for the CFO a year or 2 years or 5 years ago?
Well, in particular at DHS, we've been extremely fortunate from a budget standpoint. In the past, we had 7%, 8% increases really since inception. Right around 2010, that outlook really began to change with the introduction of the continuing resolution for DHS. We have done as in the CFO's office is really emphasize fiscal discipline. And the idea that what you don't want to do is to be able to have just cuts for the sake of cutting. There's all kinds of different ways to be able to balance a budget in a declining environment. But to be able to do that strategically is what's really different. We've been fortunate in the CFO's office is that we've been planning for this for some time, even during the good years, and really trying to take a look at, cross components. So look at more across the enterprise as opposed to having budgets developed in silos or in isolation. What we really want to be able to do is to take a look at capabilities. You want to look across components to see how what everybody is actually doing, how is that contributing ultimately to the missions that are articulated for DHS, as well as how are we actually achieving the performance, and are there ways to be able to maybe shift some of those resources around such that you could actually get optimal performance by doing it a little bit differently. So and that takes a lot of practice, that takes an awful lot of discipline. So what we've been really able to do at DHS is prepare ourselves to be able to have to develop that community. Again, going back to performance, really, how do you get planning into programming, into budget, into execution? That's really, I think, the biggest change is that really we need to now look more strategically as opposed to just doing across the board cuts.
Ed, you have the added complexity of sometimes completely unpredictable demands from time to time on your financial situation at FEMA. How do you integrate that into the situation that Peggy talked about with budget pressures increasing and, yes, maybe some predictability over the years, but short-term some wild unpredictability?
It's an excellent question, but I want to echo what Peggy said. First of all, you don't do it in a silo, and I think that's the key to the overall approach. The leadership at FEMA, as well as tied into the department, has integrated all programs into a singular discussion about how to leverage it. So even as we talk about the recent events of Isaac with the Disaster Relief Fund, that conversation started months to half a year before about our capacity to respond to disasters. So, for example, in Isaac, through the good work of the Congress and enacting the Budget Control Act, through the engagement of our leadership to monitor the available resources and make timely decisions, we put ourselves in a position to be able to respond without having to wait for money to be delivered to us. That was part of that strategic discussion that happened months before an Isaac hit. So I think it just builds on Peggy's points about the integration of the overall discussion across FEMA.
Ed Johnson is the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA, and Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, our guests on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My colleague Jason Miller and I will continue the conversation with them in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose. This is Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
A trusted 8A certified firm, Unistar Sparco Computers, is an IT solution provider that offers over a million IT products and office supplies. Their experienced sales team efficiently services both CONUS and OCONUS locations. Sparco.com's past performance ranks them with the top 5% of all GSA Schedule 70 contract holders. They hold various BPAs and IDIQs as a result of personalized customer care and fast, reliable delivery. Strong partnerships with leading manufacturers enable them to provide the latest technologies with budget-sensitive pricing. They are an IBM-certified premier business partner for servers and storage solutions, and their offerings include IBM software product lines such as licensing and renewals. Because they understand your needs, they have extended their business hours to support you, their government customers. For more information, please call 1-800-840-8400 or visit sparco.com. SPARCO.com.
Life is long and filled with challenges. Navigating these can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be. Hi, this is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, AFMA has been leading military personnel through difficult times to a more secure future by offering the right products and services at the right time for the best price. Our low-cost life insurance and personal approach allow us to help you plan wisely and feel comfortable that your family will be taken care of. Our unparalleled survivor assistance services will allow your family to take a deep breath and relax, knowing we'll take care of everything. When you choose AFMA, you choose a partner who will provide guidance, simple solutions, and personalized care. Our life insurance policies are available to all members of the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. For a free life insurance quote, call a membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or find us online at AFMA.com today. That's AAFMAA.com.
I have this dream where I'm creating some of today's most sophisticated navigation technology. My work is helping transportation and aerospace industries change the way we think about traveling from point A to point B. My ideas are being built into components that millions of people... Whoa, this isn't a dream. It's the dream job I got with my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's electrical engineering program equips you with job-ready skills to design and build leading-edge systems. Whether you want a broad-based understanding or expertise in a specialized field, our exclusive job offer guarantee can connect you to success. And Capital is one of just 14 colleges and universities endorsed by IEEE as a provider of quality engineering education.
If you can dream it, Capital can help you live it. Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For information on campus tours and open houses at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Wednesday's Federal Drive. Senior executive service reform, how successful has it been? We'll explore that question from an academic and real-life experience standpoint. It's part of our week-long multimedia series, The Obama Impact, Evaluating the Last 4 Years. Plus, will Congress or the courts save you from the Stock Act? Those stories and more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's Agency of the Month today, focusing on the Department of Homeland Security. And this entire month and all of our conversations are archived at federalnewsradio.com. Search term Agency of the Month. Our guests today, Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer at Homeland Security, and Ed Johnson, FEMA's Chief Financial Officer, and my colleague Jason Miller joining on the questioning today.
Ed, I want to jump back to you. Something you said before break was around programming and planning, and you mentioned FEMA stat. And I think we hear a lot about the stat, the tech stats, the act stats, the cyber stats, but agency-specific stat sessions, I think, are something you don't hear a lot about, or at least don't, you don't get a lot of insight into. Give me a sense of how they work and maybe an example of one where you applied a program against the FEMA stat process?
Sure. First of all, we have an Office of Program Planning Analysis that works directly for the Administrator, Deputy Administrator. So in a collaborative way, working with our leadership, we identify business opportunities, as I call them, for review, and enhancing those opportunities to meet the overall mission. So those type of areas of review could be programmatic in terms of how are we doing in response, how could we do better, or they could be organizationally. Are we hiring the right people at the right time? Are we sustaining them? So what we do is it's chaired by the Deputy Administrator, so it has high level of leadership involvement. A lot of the questions come from the Deputy Administrator in terms of challenging the assumptions and the type of decision process and the tools that are being used. And so to put it into context, I'd rather look forward than back, is we have one now that we're planning for next year, which is disaster estimating. We have a lot of tools within FEMA across government that we're leveraging to determine how should we estimate the cost, the potential cost, and then the actual cost of disasters. We see some opportunities to enhance that without replicating tools that are already in existence. So we're going to add that to our FEMA stat review for this upcoming year, collaboratively, not only within FEMA, but looking outside of FEMA to gain that insight to build a better process of anticipating costs and building into the budget.
Now, typically, are these FEMA stat sessions, are they 2 hours, 3 hours in length? Are they all day? And who is there? Obviously, the Deputy Administrator leads them, so you're getting all the highest levels, so the CIO, the CFO, the Chief Acquisition Officer, and whom else?
Yeah, they typically can last anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. They're very focused. There's a official report afterwards of action items for follow-up for tracking, and senior leadership, pretty much the SES for the program that's involved and the ones that are involved from a stakeholder perspective, sit in, listen to the dialogue. It's a give-and-take dialogue where there's an open forum where if you have an insight, an idea, you present it, then you're challenged very directly by the leadership to then back that up and actually follow up on it to move the agency forward. So it's a very collaborative and high-level engagement.
Now, I know it depends on what you're looking at, but from a CFO's role, are you the money guy? Do they just want to say, Ed, do we have money for this? And you say, well, I don't know, like most parents, like most CFOs, or what is your role?
Well, the role is twofold for the CFO. First is obviously to put things in the budget context. If we're talking about new initiatives, then we're asking where and how can we fund it? Can we leverage existing resources? Are there higher priorities? So we stimulate that part of the discussion. Also, we offer a programmatic view of our work with the department, working with the Hill and Senate. We also offer insights that we thought about this thing differently in a programmatic as we bring a broader context to the discussion, not only in terms of performance metrics or in terms of performance, past performance, but our insights and working across the department about other types of lessons learned that we can offer to the discussion.
Now, Peggy, as you were listening to Ed talk about that and as Jason asked his question about the role of the CFO in those kinds of meetings, you kind of were nodding in agreement, if I read your expression correctly. Talk about what your view of that is and your seat at those kinds of meetings.
That really is right. I mean, the way FEMA is doing it, it's really the right way to do it. I mean, what you need is you need to have that senior leadership. You need to have that involvement. You need to be able to bring in not just the money guy, but you also need to be able to bring in the programmatics of it. And it needs to be across all of FEMA. You need to have the right people sitting at the table. At DHS, we do what I would consider to be a best practice, where we take a review on a quarterly basis of our missions, and we actually look at mission goals and objectives as it relates to our strategic plan. The Deputy Secretary leads that in her role as COO under GIPR modernization. And what you have is you've got my office there who are staffing it, and you also have the PIO participating, and you have all components sitting there who have equities or responsibility as it relates to that particular mission set. And what we do is we review what are those performance metrics, are they still relevant, and we take a look at whether or not we're meeting the objectives that we've laid out, and talk about whether or not there's any changes that might need to get done. What's so good about it is you really do have that cross-component conversation. We talked a little bit about how are we changing in the world of, you know, with the declining budgets. One of the ways the DHS is changing really for the better is really to be able to have that cross-component conversation. What you really need now is we no longer have the luxury of being able to do things in silos. Now what you need is to be able to have those cross-component conversations. And something like reviewing performance metrics with the number two in the department is really a great way to be able to do that.
Peggy Sherry of DHS and Ed Johnson of FEMA are guests on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When Vivek Kundra first announced the tech stat sessions, those are the first ones that I recall in government, there was was a fear among the people in the CXO suites that this was going to become a blame game. It didn't turn out that way, and I wonder what you're doing at each of your agencies to perpetuate that, to make sure that, that these sessions become a real examination of what do we need to do to get where we want to go.
Well, I think they're fantastic, and I think it really is something that DHS has been somewhat of a leader on anyway. We have a fairly robust review board as it relates, where you have all the CXOs sitting at the table, which is led either by the deputy secretary or the undersecretary for management at DHS. And what you do is you really take a look at whether or not it's a particular acquisition program or whether or not it's a portfolio of capabilities and the various programs that lead into that, and really take a look at it from all aspects. So you do look at whether or not they're performing relative to what they said they were going to perform. You take a look at whether or not they've costed the programs out correctly, whether or not they're actually affordable. You take a look at whether or not these capabilities are actually contributing to the overall mission capabilities, the things that you actually need in order to be able to achieve what's laid out in the strategic plan. So I think it's just a natural extension of a lot of really what's going on currently at DHS.
And how do you avoid that idea of having people take away a sense of this whole point was about what I did wrong or whatever negative things that aren't intended in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's the tone at the top. It's clearly set by the administrator, deputy administrator, chief of staff to senior leadership that this is about improving the process, improving the ability of the organization to achieve its mission. It isn't about an individual or specific program. It's about those opportunities and stressing those and building on those. And the way they do that is they also emphasize the positive. They collaboratively identify when we've made that progress, as we recently did in some of our technology on notification of disasters. So they stress the positive, but they're demanding because they believe in what they do as does a department. And every opportunity they see to improve our mission, to better serve the citizens, the first responders, they take seriously. So that's the tone at the top. It isn't about the individuals, it's about the mission.
You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests on the program today, Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and Ed Johnson, the CFO at FEMA, and we'll continue our conversation. My colleague Jason Miller joining me on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, got a potential hacker intrusion over here, dealing with a network virus down here. And what about this email encryption failure?
The answer to your agency's security challenges, CenturyLink Government. 24/7 protection to keep your essential data from falling into the wrong hands. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Attention all federal and military agencies. In March, the Australian Defense Force saved more than $150 million by using Intelsat General to put critical communications into space as a hosted payload on one of our satellites, on time and on budget. Our next hosted payload satellite launches in 2013. So if your agency needs on-time, on-budget access to space, take an example from our allies down under and look no further than Intelsat General. Learn more at spacedelivered.com. Intelsat General Hosted Payload Program. That's spacedelivered.com.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"The IT model that is most likely to be the end state here is some form of hybrid cloud, where there is a much more efficient, advanced virtualization technology in the existing federal data center running. There is some ecosystem of service providers and virtualized cloud technology running there, and that the agency is managing the security and the operations of that environment from a central point, most likely behind their firewall somewhere."
To hear the Federal IT Challenge in its entirety and learn more about the journey to cloud computing, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's neither one, but a hero just the same. It's a federal worker giving to United Way of the National Capital Area and its charities. She pulls someone out of harm's way with every payroll contribution. He champions the people in his community with every CFC charity he designates. When you choose CFC code 31408 and give through payroll contributions, you're changing the life of someone in need.
Amazing things happen when we stand united.
A bit better walking. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Research indicates more Americans are walking, but the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also indicates we have miles to go. The review of national survey data found about 62% of adults walked at least once for 10 minutes or more in the previous week in 2010. That's up from about 56% in 2005. But people need to do at least 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity to get health benefits. Researcher Diana Carroll.
In our study, we found less than half of adults get the 150 minutes of aerobic activity each week. And this can be improved by doing activity as simple as brisk walking.
The study is in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing seatbelts, would you? So why leave them unprotected when you're gone? Learn about the latest techniques for maximizing your wealth and protecting your assets for your heirs. Join me, Wayne Zell, for Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm an estate planning attorney with Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Each week, we talk about how you can realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. That's Blueprint for Wealth, Saturdays at 10 a.m., right here on 1500 AM.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Agency of the Month. This month, the focus on the Department of Homeland Security. And our guests in studio to talk about financial management issues at DHS, Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer of the agency, and Ed Johnson, the CFO at FEMA, and my colleague Jason Miller joining in the questions today.
Now, before break, we were talking a lot about performance management, performance metrics, how the stat sessions work or the review sessions. Let's just get down to, I guess, brass tacks here, budget. I mean, everyone is planning for budget reductions. You talked about fiscal, emphasizing fiscal responsibility, fiscal constraint. Give me a sense, because going from a time when DHS was seeing 7-8% increases to all of a sudden either being flat or 1-2% increases, because I think Congress still has a soft spot in their heart for DHS where you'll get a little bit of an increase. How do you guys deal with that issue? And then there's that big S word, the sequestration word that everyone is not or maybe planning for.
Well, there's a couple things that DHS has been doing over the last couple years, really, to be able to prepare. And again, I think a lot of it's just really good accountability, to demonstrate good, strong stewardship. But one of the things that we've done over the last couple years is really to do very strong base budget reviews in each of the components. Now, during a time when you're having, 7-8% increases in your overall top line, sometimes it's really difficult to be able to do those base budget reviews because you really are being more responsive. And I think in DHS's perspective, you've got the increasing responsibilities, for instance, the evolving area of cybersecurity. So it's just really trying to take a look at how do you go about resourcing those, as opposed to doing a real deep dive into base budget reviews. But what we have done over the last couple years is really to have each of the components to go in and to really take a look at, somewhat at a zero-based level, what is it that they're spending their money on. And then what we had them do was to be able to map them against the QHSR mission, our overall strategic missions, and then also to take a look at whether or not there were certain high-priority areas that they were working on, or there were high-performing areas, and then conversely, what are those programs, what are those things, activities that they're doing that maybe are not such a priority, or maybe they're not strongly contributing overall to the various mission space. And then back to performance, as Ed was talking about earlier, really taking a look at whether or not programs are performing the way that they're supposed to. So that's been an area that we've been very strong in. In addition to that, since the Secretary has joined DHS, she has really always emphasized really strong accountability, and she's had an efficiency review initiative that really from day one she really emphasized. I think it really comes from having been a governor where you really do have to make sure that you balance your books. She brought that discipline into DHS, and so it's not just too little or too big, but she really had us look at all kinds of different initiatives.
I remember when Secretary Napolitano came in and with the efficiency reviews and made a lot of good news for people like me to report on. Are they still happening? Are the reviews, because I know, not that they stopped, not that you said, all right, we're efficient, but these were very specific, I think,
initiatives right.
that she was taking. And then now it's more like now OMB comes out with memos that says, cut your administrative costs
right.
or reduce travel. That's a different type of efficiency review than I think when the secretary comes in. Are you guys still looking at those types of reviews? And if so, can you give us maybe a recent example?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it really did put us in a really good spot to be able to prepare for the campaign to cut waste. And it really has become a part of the fabric of what we do at DHS. So you really do question when you go to spend something, when you go to initiate a new project, is this really the best way that you can do it? Is it the most effective, the most efficient way to do it? So I would say, I think we had about 43 initiatives so far that we've been working on. And they range from how do we take a look at the way we do travel, which sounds probably familiar as it relates to the campaign to cut waste. We were really kind of in the forefront of that, really taking a look at when you go to book travel, you really need to see, is it in fact mission critical, or is it something perhaps that you could do differently? Is a way maybe you could do a VTC, or whether or not maybe you could do something locally as opposed to flying across the country. So it's really just a different mindset. And I think really what it allowed DHS to do is to really be ready for many of the things that are coming down, such as taking a look at conferences, just looking at how you do business differently.
So, Peggy, if I hear you correctly, I wrote down priorities, performance management, and accountability as kind of the core
Absolutely.
Of what you're getting at. Is that the same thing that you're doing at FEMA?
Yeah, I think Peggy said it very well, and it just stems down to the components. We have something we call the program budget reviews. These aren't just high-level discussions. Every program comes in front of the leadership, the deputy administrator, the chief of staff, talks about every contract they have in place, how their discretionary money is being used, what are their investments in IT. It's all put on the table to ensure priorities. And to build on what Peggy said on efficiencies, for FEMA, for example, we, under the leadership of Craig Fugate, the administrator, and deputy administrator Rich Serino, have reduced non-disaster response travel by 40% in the last few years already based on those efficiency reviews. We're reducing our footprint for space and saving, in the tune of $8 to $10 million, and just reducing, looking at the advent of telework and seeing that we have people that are out of the office constantly and how we can reduce the footprint and save money that also extends to telecommunication costs as part of those efficiencies. So there's really very little stones that are unturned in terms of taking from the department down and then reporting up to the department on those efficiencies and extending the reliability dollar. The other thing I'll echo is that it's also through the acts of Congress, and I'll go back to the Budget Control Act for the disaster fund, that established a very strong foundation and framework for future disaster budgeting that lives within both the immediate and the future. So we live within that environment as well.
Peggy Sherry is the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. The last voice you heard was Ed Johnson. He's the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA. You're in the process of moving toward overall auditability at the agency. Where are you in that timeline? And talk about the targets that you have in front of you, please.
This is actually a very exciting time. To the extent that when you talk about audits, it's exciting, but it's a really exciting time for DHS, and it's rather historic. When DHS was formed back in 2003, 22 different legacy agencies joined the department, and they brought with them, all their disparate cultures, the different policies, procedures, systems. We still have way too many financial systems within the department. They also brought with them 30 significant deficiencies. And in audit speak, those are the things that you want to truly try to avoid. And 18 of them were so severe they were considered material weaknesses. So there was an awful lot of things that department needed to do really to be able to build that framework, that foundation, in order to be able to start to correct some of those. I'm very happy to say that, since 2004 to 2010, I'm not happy to say this, but from 2004 to 2010, we were not auditable. We had what was called a disclaimer. And then starting in 2011, we actually got our first audit opinion, which is huge for the department. So what that means is they were actually able to give an opinion and say our accounts were correct on our balance sheet as well as our statement of custodial statements. But what we had one remaining what they call a qualification as it relates to property, plant, and equipment. What was so great about that is that allowed us then to be able to move into the next step, which is what our responsibility under the CFO Act is to get all of our financial statements audited. And so this year, we're actually undergoing a full scope audit, which is huge for the department.
What are the steps that you've taken broadly to get to that? I'm thinking of some other agency here in Washington that's larger than you that is struggling under that. I don't know which one that might be, but they're dealing with the same issue that you are.
A lot of it is when I talk about kind of like how are we achieving success, it starts with tone at the top. You know, we have strong support from the secretary and the deputy secretary, the undersecretary for management, very strong support, and they participate in regular meetings to status meetings with me to be able to find out how we're doing. So clearly they make it important. There are commitment statements that we get from each of the component heads at the beginning of the year where they articulate what the goals are, what the department's goals are, and then they then sign on to those goals, not just as it relates to audit readiness, but also as it relates to remediating serious internal control issues. So really, tone at the top is critical. In 2004, the Financial Accountability Act was passed, and what that really required the department to do was not to only get a financial statement audit, but also to get an audit over its internal controls and financial reporting. And what that really did is set DHS on the path of really making internal controls, really looking at internal control issues and having more of a risk management mindset, really part of the fabric of what it is that we do. So you know, audit readiness means to us is really having more of a risk management, more of a future look. So what we're not waiting is for the auditors to come in and to find problems. Instead, the department is much more risk we manage our risk a lot more where we're looking for what those internal controls issues are that we need to remediate.
Ed, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to hear the component view of what Peggy's talking about and what your contribution is to getting her to the places she needs to be to get that auditability done. My guests on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, Ed Johnson, the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA, and Peggy Sherry, the DHS Chief Financial Officer. My colleague Jason Miller in studio with me, and we'll continue Agency of the Month in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Conducting the business of government has never been more challenging, as agencies need to make even smarter procurement decisions. Now you can take the direct path to successful acquisitions with GSA's multiple award schedules. GSA makes it easier to get what you need when you need it on time and on budget. You'll save time and money by reducing costly delays in purchasing services and products with the flexibility and control you need to negotiate better pricing. GSA also provides best value through established contracts with pre-qualified vendors and streamlined access to a wide selection of contractors. You can also create blanket purchase agreements to meet your agency's recurring requirements. To find out how GSA's multiple award schedules can help you support your agency's needs, visit gsa.gov/ACQCPM. That's gsa.gov/ACQCPM.
$1.2 trillion in across-the-board spending cuts are set to hit federal agencies starting January 2nd. What programs will be affected, and how are agencies preparing? Will federal employees be furloughed? And how will contractors handle the funding reductions? The clock is ticking. Congress has 4 months to agree on alternative cuts before sequestration becomes a reality. Find the latest news at federalnewsradio.com/sequestration.
Have federal managers been given the knowledge, tools, and authority to make the changes the administration has been urging over the last 4 years? Are the directives well-conceived and relevant enough to even make a difference? Join Federal News Radio all this week as we investigate 23 presidential initiatives and offer our view on their effectiveness. The Obama Impact, evaluating the last 4 years. Federal News Radio's special week-long multimedia series exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Search Obama Impact.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to Agency of the Month. This month, it's the Department of Homeland Security. My colleague Jason Miller joining me in the questioning today with Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer at DHS, and Ed Johnson, the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA. And Ed, before the break, we were talking about auditability, and Peggy was describing the procedure that DHS was using to get to full auditability. What's the component's role in providing information and support and so on to get the agency as a whole where it needs to go?
Yeah, first of all, I think Peggy explained it well from the tone at the top. I think the other thing I would add is years ago, the audit was just the CFO's problem. and it's now considered the agency's responsibility. And I think that came from the department. It also came from the component leadership. So really what we have to do is we have to make sure we're lock and step with the department. Even though we have our own responsibilities, our own sort of action plans that we've built to deal with remediation of past problems, as well as being proactive and looking internally before the auditors arrive, which is a big change too. Years ago, it used to be, okay, the auditors showing up, we had to get ready. It's sort of a 12-month effort now. And the department leads it by setting out those plans. We call them management action plans, where we look at what are we going to do to fix the problem, and then we track it. If it's not transparent, it doesn't get done, and all of this is transparent all the way up the chain. We have a monthly meeting at the component level with the DHS CFO. We talk about our remediation efforts. We highlight things that are going well. They have independent assessments that are going on at the department level with our auditors, our external auditors, to get a broad whole view, as we do internally. So as things are happening, we're not reacting to them. We know they're coming. We've already got plans in place for them. So what we're reacting to is sort of the exceptions rather than the big ticket items that we've already known about. And the last comment I'll say is the trackability. We have weekly meetings internally within our own components. We have biweekly meetings with the external auditors to make sure their issues are heard, and we're dealing with issues collaboratively. We're investigating them at the front end, and we've already prepared for when they've come in, so it's not a reactionary mode.
So, Peggy, I got to ask before, because I want to get into financial systems, before I got to ask, are you guys going to be closer this year than last year around the financial? I know you have 55 days or something to consider.
And counting,
yes.
I think we've made an immense amount of progress at DHS. I think clearly we still have some challenges. The fact that we were able to do a full scope audit, we're actually able to meet our fiduciary responsibility to be able to get all of our statements audited is really huge. And you know, people like Ed in the components have been amazing. You know, they've really been able to develop those processes in place to be able to make sure that we're in a position where we can be audited. I still think we have challenges as it relates to property. Property typically ends up becoming one if you're capital intensive like DHS is, and certainly within three of our largest components, and Coast Guard being the last one that has not been able to get their property audited. They've made an immense amount of progress. Still challenges out there with that. We have high hopes that we'll be able to get an opinion done on all of our statements here this year. In the event we don't reach our unqualified opinion this year, I'm sure that we'll be reaching it next year.
And the key to that is the financial systems. And you guys had a couple fits and starts. You've had the eMERGE program. You had TASC, which I know both of them never got really off the ground. And now you're going down a separate path to really try to address the 22 different financial systems, or how many you have now, 23 or 24, or keeps going up.
We have 13 key accounting systems. And one of the main reasons why you want to be able to modernize your systems is to be able to have sustainability. One of the things that worries me the most as it relates to the audit is having to rely on manual internal controls. So again, we've got this great process in place where we take a look at internal controls, a great risk management viewpoint now where we're looking forward as opposed to looking at what the auditors are handing off to us. But the fear is sustainability. And so one of the things that systems, financial systems bring to you where you have automated internal controls is the ability to be able to have sustainability of success. So a couple of the things that we've been trying to deal with at DHS was really to be able to modernize those systems that needed to get modernized, which is really a different way of looking at this right now where, you know, clearly in an environment where you've got decreasing top lines, it's really important that you invest all of your dollars where you're going to get the best ROI. But the other thing that we really needed to be able to do at DHS is to get that enterprise-wide view of our resources. And that's something that you really can't have when you have a whole bunch of disparate systems. So really what DHS has been investing much of our time and energy on is really developing business intelligence tools. I believe you heard the Undersecretary for Management, Boris, talk a lot about some of the BI initiatives that he's got underway. This is one that we've got strong support from him on, is really looking at how do you do data standardization, how do you do standardization of business processes in such a way that I don't need one accounting system within the department still to be able to get that enterprise view. Clearly, in declining resource times, it's that much more important for us to be able to be quick and responsive when the secretary or leadership needs to be able to look at where our resources are, as well as to be able to respond to Congress and other stakeholders in a timely fashion. That's what the business intelligence piece of it's going to do. We're then also then focusing on those systems that need to get modernized, work very closely with the components to be able to do that.
You talk about the systems being able to be modernized. I know you guys had a list. Remind me, was FEMA one of those, or are you guys in pretty good shape around your systems modernization?
Yes, we had three, to make it simple, we go to three different components because some of them are service providers as well. All right, so you have ICE with its customer components, you had Coast Guard with its customer components, and then you had FEMA, who was identified early on as one that had a critical need to be able to modernize their systems.
Yeah, and if I could build on that, Peggy, I think the opportunity we saw was that our system was not fail-safe. It could crash. We needed to take some very, with the support of the department, some positive steps. What we did was we looked back and said we could wait for the right solution, or we could do something that gets us a stable system that will give us more time and work with the department for a longer-term solution. And as a result of that, we made some investments in updating the something as basic as the operating system, moving to Linux and Oracle in a system that wasn't there before. And it gave us now a stable system that we were fearful of crashing at any time. So now we can work on the initiatives to build our environment better to deal with our financial management needs. That includes what we're calling a gap analysis and working with the department. And what we found out, to answer the question about financial systems, is everybody focuses on the tool first. They think it's the panacea. And what we found out is there's a multiple dimension to this. So if you've got to look at your business processes and said, are those aligned properly first, and are they built the right way, and then will the system support it? So we've taken a lot of lessons learned from FEMA, but now through the support of the department, we now have a process in place where by November and December next year, we won't be worrying about, will I get a wake-up call and said, the system is dead, no more financial management information, to what can we do next and work with the department to enhance our financial management data, our reporting, and our overall financial management controls.
Ed Johnson is the Chief Financial Officer at FEMA, and Peggy Sherry is the CFO at the Department of Homeland Security, our guests on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My colleague Jason Miller and I will wrap up today's conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Making dollars and cents out of data center consolidation, a panel discussion with experts from government, sponsored by Brocade. Panelist Cindy Castle, Director of Systems and Integration Office at the State Department.
We have great targets for closing our data centers, but this has happened in every single case that we get a customer who comes along, and a big customer, says, I can't get out of the data center, you can't move me right now because I have something huge going on, we can't touch anything. So that causes us to slip our milestones and our projects. But it doesn't mean that we're not closing the data centers, it just means it's taking us longer to do it than we had initially planned.
Meet the future head-on. Brocade's networking solutions provide government agencies with the high performance, reliability, and flexibility they need to securely deliver mission-critical services while maximizing taxpayer dollars. To hear the panel making dollars and cents out of data center consolidation in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, search data center.
Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The Air Traffic Management Report, provided by Raytheon.
Did you know that weather accounts for 70% of all air traffic delays in the U.S.? Delivering more information more quickly to air traffic controllers and pilots means significantly reducing the impact of weather on your travel. Raytheon engineers are leveraging more than 60 years of aviation experience to bring more precise weather forecast into the air management arena. That means safer travel and fewer delays in getting to your destination.
Look up, and odds are you're looking at something Raytheon makes safer and more capable every day. Because Raytheon technology helps manage two-thirds of the world's airspace, enabling safer, more efficient air travel by modernizing, integrating, and supporting today's air traffic systems. For decades, we've continued to innovate as the nation's airways have continued to grow, helping to enable today and tomorrow's air travel. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
Quest Government Services is now CenturyLink Government. CenturyLink is positioned to support your mission objectives and provide you with an enhanced product and service portfolio. With our global reach, expanded nationwide network, and strong financial standing, We are the partner for IT leaders looking toward a stronger, more connected tomorrow. Your link to the future begins here. See the benefits of partnering with us at CenturyLink.com/federal.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Blood cancer. 1 million Americans live with it every day. Children, teenagers, adults, blood cancer knows no boundaries. This September, celebrate survivors and honor the memory of those lost. Form a team for the Light the Night Walks. Complete an endurance event. Register your child's school for pennies for patients or make a donation today. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight charities are fed by Papa John's.
This is In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, wrapping up today's Agency of the Month conversation. My colleague Jason Miller joining me with Peggy Sherry, the Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and the FEMA CFO, Ed Johnson. And one of the things that we've seen trending across agencies is increasingly a higher level of interaction amongst all of the members of the C-suite. The one in particular, the folks that have been saying for the longest time we want to be included in these conversations is the CIO. And you, of course, have Richard Spires at DHS, very high-profile CIO. So I imagine that process was a little easier than other agencies. But talk about how that is working at DHS, Peggy, and the role that each of these other executives plays.
No, it's a great question. And I really do think it's in order to be able to have that integration across the management lines of business, that's what you really need in order to be able to have sustainability. Again, I talk about how that's one of the things that I worry about. You know, you get your success and you want to be able to make sure that you sustain that. I think having that integration with the other management lines of business is really critical and clearly is something that the Undersecretary for Management talks an awful lot about and has done a great job. There's really rarely a day that would go by that I'm not intersecting very closely with one of the other management chiefs, whether it's at the department level or whether or not it's at the component level, whether it's in the budget areas, whether or not it's in these tech stats or these portfolio reviews. You know, really being able to set our five-year budget plan, you really need to be able to make sure that you've got your chief administrative officer in there working with you, taking a look at what will our capital investment plan look like for the next 5 to 15 years, what's our real estate footprint supposed to look like. There are ways that we can do things better, more efficiently, more effectively. Many of the initiatives that the administration has for each of the different lines of businesses, they really can't do very much without actually coming in to work with the CFOs. So it really is the best practice, and I think it is the way that we will get audit success, the way that we'll be able to manage our budgets more successfully. We'll be able to take a look at more, across the lines of business for efficiencies.
Ed, you have accomplished leaders in the C-suite there. How is that integration working at your agency, and what kind of professional relationship do you have with each of those people to give them the information they need and receive the information you need back?
Yeah, I would like to say they just love me personally, but that comes with the CFO term. But we do it in a number of ways. First of all, at the leadership level, we have a weekly leadership meeting with all SES in the room talking about the high-level updates that are going on, and the CFO has a weekly update on the budget, on things that matter to the agency. So that's how we get the message out, and we also build the collaboration. Talking word collaboration, we also have a follow-up meeting for looking inwardly as well, because those leadership meetings include all our regions, all our staff throughout the agency. We have an internal collaboration meeting where we're focusing on key objectives that are in front of us, including the audit, every week on Wednesday that we get together again, and again, building those relationships. The last point I'd make is we set time aside at a senior leadership where I'm having a biweekly with the OCIO. I'm having a biweekly with the head of mission support. That includes facilities, includes human resources. I have a monthly with the program heads within the specific programs to talk about their needs and issues as well as sharing ours. So it's that building of multiple layers of communication that seems to build not only the interaction but the trust and the working relationship and the commonality of the problems we're all dealing with, as we talked about earlier.
Is this much different than in the past? I want to go into the maturity of DHS. Let me start with Ed. From your standpoint of FEMA and then being part of the department, were these meetings happening before?
Yeah, I can't speak holistically before I came in, but I can tell you that the tone from the top, a word we've used repeatedly here, has been said early on that these are not just OCFO issues. These are not just response issues. These are not FIMA or Federal Insurance Management Administration issues. These are FEMA issues, so we need to work together. And I think from Craig Fugate, our administrator, and Rich Serino, and our chief of staff, Jason McNamara, all of these people have brought that sort of culture into FEMA. And it's not just the, it's one of those things, they talk the talk, but they walk the walk. And they make sure people are hearing it, and they also are accountable for it. So to answer your question, I think it's part of that mindset of the leadership. And I've seen it at the department as well through Peggy's leadership, where we get together at the DHS CFO council meetings, or we're working collaboratively on joint issues.
Ed Johnson is the chief financial officer at FEMA. Peggy Sherry is the chief financial officer at the Department of Homeland Security. Thank you both very much for coming in today. I really enjoyed this conversation. A ton more that we could cover, and we're just out of time. So thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason Miller, my colleague, joining in the questioning today. You're listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by CenturyLink on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This conversation will be archived at federalnewsradio.com. Search term Agency of the Month, and hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose is next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.